वालों में नहीं था खूं भरू, भूलने बैठी तो किस किस की ना याद आई हुसैन, भूलने बैठी तो किस किस की ना याद आई हुसैन, आज भी जैनब की आती है सदा भाई हुसैन, बह रहे थे आँख से आँसू तेरी रोक सके वक्त, फिर कोई आंसू ना टपका आंख पथराई हुसैन, तेरा चेहरा तेरी आंखें भूल कब पाई हुसैन, आज भी जैनब की आती है सदा भाई हुसैन बर मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद सलवाद।
رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، صراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله على نبيك يا ابن رسول الله، صلى الله على المؤمنين، صلى الله على آلك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة، ما خاب من تمسك بقضاء وأمن من لجأ إليكم، يا ليتنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. With the loudest of your voices, wherever you may be, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. برأيت عجيل ظهور صاحب العصر والزمان. With the loudest of your voices, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى for gracing us with this wonderful opportunity to continue acquiring the understanding of our faith and to be able to enhance our relationships with Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and with Ahlu Bayt al-Ismati wa Tahara. It is indeed a great opportunity and a great honor to be alive in this year, holy month of Muharram, and to be amongst the Azadarani of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Last night or yesterday, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, my dear youth, we looked at navigating one's career in the light of Islam. We discussed Islam and the importance of career. We delved into some verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions of Ahlul Bayt. We then went ahead to look at some practical ways of identifying what career is suitable for a person. I must say, I'm really humbled and excited by the questions and the feedbacks I received. Some excellent questions via my Instagram page. And some of you also sent me questions via my Facebook page. And alhamdulillah, one of you also sent me excellent observations via Brother Hassanain Aga. So what I would like to do before we discuss the topic of today is to answer some of those questions I received, most especially in relation to finding a career in one's life. And then inshallah, on one of the nights, I will discuss my personal journey with you. As you know, I'm originally from Ghana and I wasn't born a Shia. So I will find time, inshallah, on one of the nights, God's willing, to discuss my personal journey with you. And the aim of that will be to inspire you and to motivate you to cherish what you have and to honor what you have, and to take advantage of what you have and make the best out of the presence of your parents, of your siblings, and of your communities in order to thrive and to grow, becoming responsible citizen and responsible lover and follower of the Ahlul Bayt. You see, when it comes to career, what is important is to make sure that your career is in line with the teachings of Islam. In considering what we want to pursue in life, we need to make sure that the whole concept of lawful and unlawful, yani halal and haram, and the concept of legal and illegal, or licit and illicit, meaning as per the laws of your country, or wherever you're going to be to pursue your career, you need to consider all this. So on the first level, do not forget, when you go for any career, to make sure that it is not unlawful as per the teachings of Islam. And number two, it is not illegal as per your constitution or where you live in, which is very, very important, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. Now, someone asked me a question, one of you, which I really thank the person. Can I pursue a career as a YouTuber or not? Or a vlogger or blogger, whereby I create content on YouTube? There is nothing wrong to become a YouTuber, so long as, which is very, very important, your content is lawful content, and there's nothing of unlawfulness attached and associated to your content. It's like some of our scholars, we have our own personal YouTube channels where when we give our lectures and inspirational speeches, we upload on YouTube. There is nothing wrong, so long as you do it within the confinement of the teachings of Islam and the rules and the laws binding within our respective countries. There is nothing wrong. And another question is, can I pursue a career in a company where intoxicants like alcohol is served, and within one's work, he or she, one way or the other, get in contact with this? This is no doubt not acceptable within the religion of Islam. And as you know, my work, I'm a resident imam here in the UK, and I work a lot with youth because I do community organizing a lot. I belong to one civil society here in the UK. So youth come to me a lot with their questions. And there was a time when one youth came to me, "Sheikh, I tried looking for a job. I applied so many places and I'm not getting it. The only job available is that when I go to work in a retailer shop, shopping mall, I will serve alcohol, I will sell it rather. Can I pursue it?" I said to that youth, "No, you can't pursue it. You cannot just follow money and then indulge into sins, indulge into acts, which is against the teachings of Almighty Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala." The youth, I thought he listened to me, but he decided to go and work there. And then after a few months, he realized this was not the thing that really he wanted in his life. In the sense that he would serve alcohol more than any other thing, and he would sell it to people. Eventually, it affected his spirituality, and he had no that joy and that love for Allah. Because involving into selling or engaging into something which is unlawful from the Islamic perspective or otherwise, it doesn't just affect us physically. Sometimes you may tell me, "It doesn't affect me physically." No, it affects, but most importantly, it affects us spiritually. And it is not acceptable within the religion of Islam. And someone also asked me a question. Can I pursue a career in gaming so long as the game which is developed is towards developing humanity and not exposing children or our youth to something which is not acceptable? Primarily, there is nothing wrong, and it is allowed within the religion of Islam. No, someone comes forward. Here, I have this experience. A chef. I want to be a chef. And that is the career I want. One came to me here where I work. I said, there's nothing wrong to pursue a career as a chef so long as you do not serve what is unlawful, like pork, like alcohol, and so forth, and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. So what is important is to make sure that when it comes to the boundaries of Allah, which is the boundaries of Islam, you are clear. Once you are clear there, number one, and number two, with the constitution of your country, I'm passionate about that, there is nothing wrong. No, we also have these challenges where someone will come. Sheikh, can I pursue a political career or not? Primarily, there is nothing wrong to become a politician. The only time it becomes wrong is when you assist injustice and you assist and support oppression. Otherwise, if your aim of becoming a politician is to serve people, is to reach out to people, is to support them, there is nothing wrong in doing so. And so as youth, as I mentioned yesterday, you've got so many opportunities at hand. Start harnessing and nurturing the opportunities you have, and you will make it, inshallah. I have examples in the line of my work where some youth would come to me and I would advise them, do it this way, don't do it that way in terms of career. But because of pressure, sometimes they wouldn't listen. They would go and do it. And later on, they would regret for doing it. What I realize is that from my experience of working with youth, some lack patience. They don't have supper. And because of lack of patience, they end up doing something which they regret in future. Another example, I've seen some of our youth, when going to the universities, they will pursue a course. And after first semester or second semester, they change. I know some youth who change courses within 2 years, who within 3 years, they keep changing courses. And the reason for that is, initially, they did not want to take advice. They just wanted to follow their own way of doing things. And as I mentioned in one of our lectures, one of the challenges that our youth face today is to think that they are absolute independent. Yes, you are sharp. You are smart. But remember, the one who sleeps before you wakes up before you. It's an expression. Meaning someone who has a lot of experience in life can guide you, can show you the way. And so therefore, in conclusion, when it comes to career, it is very, very important we take advices of elders, advices of those who have experiences in this field, so that you do not end up regretting and you do not end up wasting your time, because that is your future. I've seen youth who ended up regretting. And the time they realized it was a bit late, but they tried going back to correct those mistakes. You should consider yourselves blessed. Blessed when someone is able to advise you very early when it comes to your career. And as I said, inshallah, one night or one day, I will discuss with you about my life journey, where I started, what happened, and where I am today, and what I've studied, and what I'm studying now, in order to inspire you and to encourage you to do more in your lives. Remember, sky is the limit. Sky is the limit. And if you are determined, you will get there and you will achieve what you want to achieve. Imam Ali alayhi salam mentioned beautifully, if you truly want to achieve success in your life, and this message goes to the youth, because I see that in my line of work, and as one of our sisters requested, it's important we share these stories with you. You know what Imam Ali said? He said, if you truly want to succeed, you must have an aim in life. Have an aim in life. What's your aim? What is it that you want to become? I've seen so many of our youths. They are confused. They come to my office. I sit with them 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. Some are confused. You cannot achieve your aim with confusion. Some small thing, they want to do a lot of istikhara. Istikhara is not bad when it is needed. And it is only done when you are totally confused. Allah first wants you to apply your mind, to apply your intellect, and to consult people of experience. If after doing so, you are brutally confused, that is the time you consult Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Not right from the beginning, you want to go for istikhara. I see some of our youth into this. And eventually, they don't even take a decision. So Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, be focused and identify your aim based on your potentials. It's crucial. And in that tradition, Imam Ali says, try to identify your priorities. What are your priorities? If I ask you questions, I can see so many names here. I can see Hadi, I can see Hussein, I can see Musa, I can see Tayyaba, I can see Sayyid Kumail. There are so many of you here. I can see Durdana Fatima, I can see all of you. So if I ask you, what is your priority in life? I see some of our youth. They want to do this, they want to do this. They want to do this, they want to do it. They miss the priority. You need to get your priorities right. And for you to get your priorities right, you can't do it alone. Remember that. You need to consult. You need to seek advice. And yesterday we discussed it. Number two, Imam Ali alayhi salam, be positive. I see some of our youth, when they come, it's either they are overconfident or they're not positive about themselves. They're thinking that, no, I can't do it. I failed last year. It's going to be difficult for me. No. Tafa'alu bil khayri tajidu. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, based on the teachings of the Holy Prophet, be proactive. Be positive. You will get it, inshallah. Just be positive. Don't keep blaming yourselves. Don't inflict injuries in yourselves. One youth came to me last year in my office. He said, sir, and he was 16 years. He said, you know, I failed my exams at school. I'm now going to write my GCSE. I don't know whether I will pass. He began crying. I helped him. I hugged him. I said, don't worry. Believe in yourself. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, be positive about yourself. When you are positive, you will achieve. So I want you, my dear, you to be positive. Be positive. And you will not regret. Number three. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen said, which is beautiful. That learn from your past experience. We all have experiences in our lives, whether you are young or you are old. You know, I went to one country in North America, former Jesuits. You know, normally I travel a lot. And then I had a gathering with the youth. Someone asked me, question, how do I succeed here? And this was about 18 years, 17 years. I want to succeed in my life. So I told him the best thing to do, you have to learn from your past experience. He asked me, what is the past experience? I said, sometimes you fail, sometimes you pass. Look at your past experience, where you did well, where you didn't do well. And use that to build your future. Because if you look at your past experience, you will know your strength and you will know your weakness. And by knowing your strength and weakness, it should help you in going forward, in navigating through. So Imam Ali alayhi salam also mentioned, whoever fails to learn from his or her experience, that person will never benefit from any advice. You will never benefit from any majlis. You will never benefit from any workshop. You will never benefit from any seminar. Learn from your past. Learn from your experience. You all have experience, irrespective of your age. And what I've seen is that some of our youth just want to move forward. They don't want to look back into their experiences and learn how they did it and how they couldn't do it previously. And of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam mentioned, you truly want to achieve success, which is very, very important. You need to seek advice from others and build your willpower. Inshallah, one day I will discuss with you youth and willpower. How do you build your resilience? And how do you build your willpower? And I will give you examples in the lives of great personalities, be it our scholars or be it Ahlul Bayt, on how they built their willpower and they built their resilience. Because without resilience and without willpower, which is crucial in one's life, you'll not be able to achieve the goals you set for yourselves. And so therefore, my dear youth, thank you so much for those questions and observations. And keep sending them via my Instagram page or via my Facebook page. And inshallah, together, we will be able to build strong community and strong future for ourselves, for our families, and for the future generations. The future belongs to you. What I would like to discuss, although I've taken much of the time in trying to cover some of the questions I received, is the essence of marriage. I know some of you are young, but it's important. We begin having these discussions at the early stage for you to understand the essence of marriage as youth within the religion of Islam. And in the process, I will share some examples with you of people who really appreciated and acknowledged the essence of marriage, and they are successful in their marriages and in their lives. And those who unfortunately had no proper grasp and understanding of the essence of marriage, and as a result, they failed and it distracted and destroyed their lives. Because you know, marriage is the point of departure. It's where it begins. As the saying goes, charity begins at home. You want to be successful in your community. You want to build the best community. It begins with marriage. All of us are here because of marriage. So marriage is very important and critical vehicle when it comes to personal development and community development. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do two things, inshallah, briefly. Number one, I'm going to look at the essence or the reality of marriage. Kindly pay attention to this. You can write it. So in future, when you're going to get married, you understand it. Essence and the reality of marriage. And then the second thing I will look and discuss is how do you prepare yourselves in getting into this institution of the marriage, which is of great importance? You see, we mentioned yesterday, Islam is beautiful. It's a way of life. And it's not just a way of life. It's a holistic way of life. Whatever you do in life, try, my dear youth, to make Islam central to it. And I promise you, you'll not regret. Today, people are suffering. People are struggling. Things are not coming right in the lives of people. I've seen youth. Because some of them have rejected the teachings of Islam. Not because they are not Muslims, but they think that they know more and they know better than Islam. They make Islam second. A lady came to me some time ago, youth lady, 20 years. So, Chef, I need your help. Because I'm studying counseling myself and psychology. I'm a counseling psychology student. Sometimes people come to me for counseling. Ask her, what's the problem? She said, you know, I wanted to do something in my life. And my mom and father advised me to come to you as a sheikh and get Islamic advice. But then I decided to go with the advice I found on social media, on the internet, which is not Islamic. And now I'm regretting it because I'm in pain. I looked at her. I said, Alhamdulillah, you have regretted. What is important is to regret, is to feel that remorse and make it up and correct it. So it's important we don't look at Islam as secondary. If you look at Islam as secondary, then I would like to encourage you to come back a little bit and try to understand what Islam is all about and what Islam stands for. Now, marriage is an unbelievable institution within the religion of Islam. It's a holy or sacred institution. It's something muqaddas, sacred, is holy. And no wonder Mawlai Kainat alayhi salam mentioned, you know it. Once a person is married, half of his faith is completed, is fulfilled. It's not just a talk. In fact, it's important we discuss this in our madrasas for our youth and young adults to understand what is it, so that in future, when your time is up to get into this institution, you get into it well informed, with good understanding. And that is why I'm discussing this topic today. In discussing the essence and the reality of marriage, or why marriage, I would like to mention the following. Number one, marriage without an iota of doubt. Response to at least three fundamental natural needs. Kindly pay attention. At least three fundamental natural needs in life, which we all need it. And if a marriage is properly done and observed, it will take care of three fundamental natural needs. And these fundamental natural needs, you will find them in Quran 30, verse 21, chapter 1. Number one natural need. You know, in life, you are youth, you know this better than me. We need peace of mind. You will achieve nothing in life without peace of mind. Insan, by nature, is fearful. What if I lose my job? What if I fail in my exams? What if I'm infected with this corona, may God forbid? What if? To overcome this what if, you need sense of peace. Where do you get that sense of peace? Of course, through worship, you can get through worship. Another way to get peace is marriage. So naturally, I need peace of mind. And marriage can grant you peace of mind. Whoever is married, and he or she does not have a peace of mind, then there's something wrong with that marriage. So as young adults or youth, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Marriage is in a position to grant you peace of mind. And when there is peace of mind, there is progress. When there is peace of mind, there is development. When there is peace of mind, people thrive in life. That's the first natural need. Second natural need, you know, in life, naturally, we are social by nature. You are social being, I am social being. Mushtaba, you are social being. Hussein Jaffrey, you are social being. Sayyida Nafis Fatima, you are social being. All of us, we are social being, isn't it? What does it mean to say we are social being? We are created to love and to be loved. We can't live in silos, in isolation. It's natural. I need to love. I need to be loved. I need to socialize. That's the simple term. We all need it. Whether young or old, you need to be around someone, and some need to be around you. It's a natural need. This begins in family, in marriage. Allah says, "Ja'ala baynakum mawadda," to love and to be loved. In the community, yes, you will love and you are loved. But this begins with marriage. When marriage is right, this social aspect of individual's life will be taken care of. And when your social dimension is taken care of, you find you flourish in life. You fly in whatever you do. That's the second natural need. We're discussing the essence and the reality of marriage. The third one is what? You know, in life, we expect people to understand us when we make mistakes, isn't it? We are not masumi. We are not infallible. So sometimes we make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you expect people not to blame you, to hold grudge against you. You want them, you know what? To understand you, to forgive you, to pardon you, so that life can continue. This is in marriage. You can achieve that in marriage. Islam refers to that as rahma. Mawadda is two-sided, but rahma is one-sided. So there is rahma. In other words, you learn the art of mawadda and the art of rahma in marriage. Very important. Islam is beautiful. This is from the Quran. So before you even think of getting married, you need to think of this essence. That these are the things that I'm going to achieve in my marriage. So I'm going to pay attention to who I'm going to get married with, because it's crucial. So the first reality of marriage is what? It takes care of fundamental natural needs. Of course, three of them. Number two, essence and reality of marriage. It's door to Allah. Marriage is our way to Allah. Quran says it's not me. He said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ amongst the signs of Allah. When Allah says signs, meaning something which shows people Allah, which indicates people to Allah. So marriage is not just you married and that's it. No. Your marriage is a way to introduce you to Allah properly. So as an adult, someone who is ready for marriage, remember, you're not getting married just for the sake of getting married. But you're getting married because your marriage will be in a position to take you to Allah. Your marriage will inspire you to love Ahlul Bayt. Your marriage will inspire you to love Allah. So there is a very strong relationship between marriage and family. So my dear youth, you are the future. You've got potentials. Your marriage in future, inshallah, should be your doors to Almighty Allah. If one's marriage cannot lead him to Allah, then the person has not understood the essence of marriage. I'll give an example. Imam Ali alayhi salam got married to Bibi Fatima alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. After the marriage, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to talk to Imam Ali to find out about Bibi. How is your wife? Rasulullah is ma'asum. Bibi Fatima is ma'asuma. Amirul Mu'mineen is ma'asum. Rasulullah wanted to teach us. Amirul Mu'mineen wanted to teach us. Bibi wanted to teach us. So that when we go into marriage, we do it the right way. Rasulullah asked Imam Ali, how is your wife? You know what was the response of Imam Ali? Yes, think. Imam Ali said, I thank Allah for the assistant to obey Allah more. Look at it. I thank Allah for the assistant in obeying Allah. Meaning, Bibi Fatima assisted Imam Ali alayhi salam to obey and love Allah more. I do marriage counseling. I do marriage mediation. I see people coming to me, especially newlywed, newly married. Some of them don't understand what marriage is all about. Within 1 year of marriage, within 2 years of marriage, they have been problems, they have been issues. So understanding what marriage is all about before you get into it is the most important. And this lesson that I'm sharing with you, obviously, is not for only youth. It's also for even elders who are in marriages to work towards perfecting their marital relationships. And the next reality and essence of marriage is what? Is to be blessed with good children. It is only through marriage that we can nurture our children. We can bring our, we can do the tarbiyah of our children. So reality of marriage is what? Is to produce our community, Karachi, our country, Pakistan, London, UK, everywhere in the world, with productive and useful children. Productive and useful children who will serve the cause of Allah and the cause of humanity. That's what marriage is all about. That's what marriage is all about. And another reality of marriage is what? It builds family and it brings family together. It begins with two families coming together, but then it flourishes and the family grow. That's what marriage is all about. And that is the essence of marriage within the religion of Islam. And so, my dear youth, I hope you are taking notes of these precious points I'm sharing with you. Not from me, it's not from me. from Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Now, if these are the essence and the realities of marriage, how do you then go about it? You don't just go and marry for the sake of marriage. No, I've seen this girl, I want to marry her, and that's it. No. I've seen this boy, I want to marry him, and that's it. No, it doesn't work out that way. There must be a way. And Islam introduced us to these ways of getting married. And that is why Islam is very clear. A lawful relationship is not acceptable. Boyfriend, girlfriend, haram. Even logically, it's not acceptable. You meet a girl somewhere, you meet a boy somewhere, you want to have a relationship, not acceptable in Islam. Why? Because marital institution is very powerful in the sight of Allah. So Allah wants us to do it the right way. Sometimes you find some of our youth, I have this experience, people come to me. I go to school, I go to university, I see this girl, I like her, I see this boy, I like him. No, it doesn't work out that way. I know it's a challenge, and we as scholars and elders of your communities, we are ready to help you, to guide you, to advise you, so that you are able to do the right thing in order to build a proper, solid, healthy future and prepare the grounds for the reappearance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know it's a challenge. Inshallah, if Allah helps me, one day I will discuss with you identity crisis. And you will see how our youth are struggling with their identity as Muslims, as Shias. But a lawful relationship is not allowed. Because marital relationship is not just a cheap relationship. It's a very powerful relationship. Islam provide us with guiding principles how to do it. And who better to learn from than the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. First criteria on who to get married with when you are matured and ready to get married, because you need maturity, it's a family that you are going to manage. You as a husband and you as a wife. It is not a joke. It's more harder than managing a company. It's more harder than managing an industry. You're going to manage human beings. Yes, in industries, in companies, you're managing human beings. But this is completely different. Because this is the source of community development. The source of nurturing people. So it's not that easy. You need that intellectual maturity. And hence, I always encourage every community to have pre-marital counseling, during marriage counseling, and after marriage counseling. I do it sometimes myself. But Islam says, number one, there are things you need to look for to get married. So Prophet mentioned four things, but he said out of these four things, the fourth one is the best. You want to look at 1, 2, 3, 5, but make sure the fourth one is there. If the fourth one is not there, then there will be challenge or challenges in your marriage. Number one, Prophet said, you can marry someone because of beauty. Beauty. She's beautiful. He looks handsome. You can marry. But remember, Prophet said, if you marry somebody only and only because she's beautiful, and because he's handsome, when the beauty goes for whatever reason, or the way he looks like goes for whatever reason, you may end up cheating the person if you don't take care. So you cannot just marry somebody simply because the person is beautiful or the person is handsome. Nothing wrong, but that should not be the only reason. Because I've seen this happening in my line of work. Beautiful. I want to marry her. Parents said, okay, bismillah. The beauty goes, it becomes a problem. Because Allah is the one who created us. So long as we are living in this world, anything can happen to us. Our face can change. Our form can change. So we can't go only for beauty. Number two, wealth. You can marry someone because he's rich. He's got money. He's driving the best of cars. He's having the best of phones. Yes, graduated from the best of universities. The girl, the same, you can marry like that. But if that is the only reason, you may end up sacrificing and dissolving the relationship or cheating one another. Because the money may come to an end. Money, no guarantee it will stay. It may come to an end. And marriage is not about going to a shopping mall. You try the clothes. Does it fit you in a fitting room? It doesn't fit you. Throw away and you go. Marriage is not like that. It's very important. Don't just go because somebody is wealthy. Of course, the person should be able to take care of you. But it doesn't mean that you should go because and only is rich, then I'm going to go. Or she's got money, I'm going to go. You may end up causing that marriage. And I'm telling you out of experience, my dear brothers and my sisters, my dear youth. The father is in Proverbs because of their family name. Maybe she's from a big family. He's from a big family. MashaAllah, their family in the community, MashaAllah, good family. They are famous. They are public figures. There's nothing wrong. But that should not be the only reason attracting you to that person. If that happens to be the only reason, you may end up losing that relationship. The last one, the Holy Prophet said, you can marry a girl or a boy because of their faith, because of their religion. They are lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt. Primarily, that is what we need to go for. They are Shia Ithna Asha. Before you even think of people of any other sect, topmost priority when your time is up to get married, go with someone you share faith in common with. Because that will help you in growing your children. And when it is Muharram, you are all there mourning and crying and lamenting over the tragedy of Karbala. Prophet said, Alayka bi dhati din talmatika. When I'm married, go with someone you share faith with. I get this challenge in my work. No, I see this non-Muslim I want to marry. Why? He's a good person. It's got a good akhlaq. It's not only that. Deen is important for your own future and for the future of your communities and for the future of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. And so therefore, consultations with parents is very, very important. Of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masum, Bibi Fatima Masum, Amirul Mu'minin Masum. But when Bibi was going to get married, Prophet sat with Bibi. They discussed. So you, when your time is up, also, I know sometimes it's not easy. Somebody will say, "No, I've seen this girl on Facebook. I've seen this boy on Instagram." No. Is my school mate, classmate, we are on Snapchat, we are on this and that. No, marriage is a heavy duty. It is not a joke. You do it well, your life is set. You don't do it well, it will distract everything. If you get married life right, other things you'll get it right. But if, say, your business going well, your studies going well, everything going well, and you are married, and the marriage is not going well, you'll not enjoy your business. You'll not be able to focus. It will give you more mental health issues. Because today, that's another topic. One of the challenges we faced, especially our youth, it's anxiety, it's mental health issues. So you don't want to add more to it. So prophet said, best out of all these criteria, go with the person you share religion words. And you know the teachings of our great Maharaj when it comes to health. In one tradition, prophet said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلْقَهُ. When someone comes to you that you trust his religion and you trust his or her akhlaq, her religion, her akhlaq, his religion is akhlaq, that is the best quality in mind. So my dear youth, I've just touched a little bit with you on the essence of marriage. And I would like you to reflect on this. Today, I see so many divorces. People are married, and within a short space of time, they are divorced. They go to court. They fight each other. Spend money. Some end up losing their children to one parent. We don't want that. Biggest challenge is that people get into marriage without proper understanding. Because when you understand it and you know who you are and the way you act, it will make sure you go with someone who will relate to you and you will relate to that person. Because we know in Islam, the moment people are married, they become one single existence. They become one. And this aspect, the teachings of Quran. Your wife becomes yourself, and you become the self of your wife. So I hope I've stimulated your queen, your minds, to reflect on this and to think more. Because it's our way of life. And we are guided to remember Ahlul Bayt because of the blessings of the marriage of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. And today, I would like to remind you and remind myself of the benefits of marriage, which was demonstrated in Karbala by mothers. There was a beautiful display of motherhood on the 10th day of Muharram. Mothers gave their sons to Aba Abdullah. Bibi Umm al-Banin gave four sons to Aba Abdullah. Layla gave Hazrat Ali ibn al-Akbar to Aba Abdullah. Ramla gave Shah Qasim and his brothers to Aba Abdullah. And Bibi Rabab gave Hazrat Ali ibn al-Askar to Aba Abdullah. But the mother of all mothers on the 10th day of Muharram was who? Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, Bibi Zainab ibn al. She gave Muhammad an Aun. And how difficult was it for Sayyidah Zainab, when she saw the horses trampling on the body of Muhammad and Amr, and arrows around the neck of these two beautiful sons. Sayyidah Zainab sat with Muhammad and Amr on the eve of Ashura. And she said to them, are you going to make me proud tomorrow? He said, yes, we will make you proud, mom. We are the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and we are the children of Ja'far al-Tayyar, and we were trained by Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. On the 10th day of Muharram, Sayyidah Zainab sent Muhammad and Aun to Aba Abdullah for permission. Aba Abdullah said to them, no, stay behind and look after your mom. Because when I lost my grandfather, your mom was there for me. When I lost my mother, your mom was there for me. And when I lost my father, Amirul Mu'mineen, your mom was there for me. When I lost my brother, Hassan al-Mujtaba, your mom was there for me. Muhammad, and I will stay behind and look after your mom. Because if you go, there will be no one to look after your mom. They returned back, but Sayyida Zainab began to walk towards Abu Abdullah. When she got to Abu Abdullah, she said to him, "Ya Abu Abdullah, why are you stopping my sons to defend and fight alongside you?" Abu Abdullah said, "Sayyida Zainab, if I allow them, who will take care of you after them?" It's like Abu Abdullah telling us what will happen to Sayyida Zainab in Bazar Sham. But Sayyida Zainab said two things to Abu Abdullah, and he allowed Muhammad and Aun to go and fight. She said to him, "You remember on the day of Siffin, our father was proud of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas." Abu Abdullah said, "Yes." She said, "But Abbas was of the age of Muhammad and Aun, my dear youth. Some of you are of the age of Muhammad and Aun. They were young, 13, 11, they were young. Allahu Akbar." Then she said to Abu Abdullah, "Don't you want our mom Fatima al-Zahra to be proud of me on the day of Qiyamah? That's my pusa." Allahu Akbar. We give pusa to Ahl al-Bayt. Sayyidina Zainab said, "That's my pusa." Allahu Akbar. Because Layla will give Akbar and Bibi Fatima will be proud of her. Bibi Fatma will be proud of Umm al-Baneen, and she'll be proud of Ramla, she'll be proud of Rabab. "Don't you want my mom to be proud of me?" That was the moment Abu Abdullah granted permission. Muhammad and Aun went to the battlefield. They supported one another. Allahu Akbar. That was the time when Umar ibn Sa'd called out, "Don't allow them to fight on one-to-one. Go and surround and attack them." They began to attack Muhammad and Aun. They attacked Aun on his head with sword. As he was falling down, Muhammad jumped to protect him. They then shot Muhammad. Aun, while on the ground, he called out, "Assalamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah." Imam Hussein rushed to the body of Aun. Aun looked at Abu Abdullah. He said, "Uncle, are you proud of me?" He said, "Yes, I'm proud of you." And he said to Abu Abdullah, "Tell our mom, we did not drink water because we know there is no water for her." Allahu Akbar. But you know what? Bibi Zainab Sayyida did not cry in Karbala. When Abu Abdullah took the bodies of Muhammad and Aun, she did not cry. When they returned to Karbala from Sham, still she did not cry. But she only cried when she returned to the holy city of Medina. The first thing she did, she went to the room of Muhammad and Aun. She looked at their mattresses and she said, "They may have taken your joy from my eyes, but they cannot take your joy from my heart." When they asked her, "Why didn't you cry for them in Karbala?" she said, "I didn't cry because there was no one to cry for Abu Abdullah." Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ala Muhammad ayyamun kalabin yankalibun wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Ma'atam al Husayn, ya Husayn, ya Husayn.
हस घर में तेरी माँ हूँ, आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊँ। हस घर में तेरी माँ हूँ, आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊँ। हस घर में तेरी माँ हूँ, बेटा तुम्हारा कातिल मेरे सामने खड़ा है, जाने क्यों हंस रहा है, चादर भी लुट चुकी है, मुंह किस तरह छुपाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। तेरे झूले को सकीना रो रो के चूमती है, तुझे घर में ढूंढती है, तेरी मौत की खबर मैं कैसे उसे सुनाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। मेरी जान जा रही है ये सोच सोच, असगर इस फूल से गले पर ये तीर कैसे झेला, बहनों को क्या बताऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। नेजे से गिर रहा है नन्ना सा सर तुम्हारा, दिल रोता है हमारा, मेरे हाथ तो बंधे हैं, सर किस तरह उठाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। जब रात होगी रण में हो जाएगा अंधेरा, डरना नहीं है बेटा, दादी कहेंगी तुमसे, आ मैं तुझे सुनाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। तुम रात को हमेशा सुनते थे माँ से लोरी, अब नींद आती होगी तेरे गोद में लिटा कर, नादे अली सुनाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। आ जाओ चांद मेरे, तेरी प्यास मैं बुझाऊं, असगर मैं तेरी माँ हूँ। बर मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद सलाम।